Welcome to the Pouncecast, being joined by 2025 Panther Hall of Famer, former Panther women's soccer athlete from 2005 through 2008, Sarah Teagarden. My name is Matt Mendel. Thanks for joining us, and Sarah, thank you for joining us. And before we talk about the here and now, and even going back to your time as a Panther, you were inducted into the Hall of Fame here in 2026, but the class of 2025. How did you find out you were being inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, it was a great day. I got a call from Kathy Lidso, and I was at a work event, and I so rarely answer phone calls that I don't recognize the number, but I had a feeling I needed to answer it, and I'm glad I did. She let me know about the news, and I have been honestly on cloud nine ever since.
So what was your initial reaction upon getting that news?
I had to immediately tell the few coworkers I was with and then call my family and let them know. UWM is such a special place to me and really holds so many really nice memories. So it's just been amazing, really.
So you get the news. The ceremony takes place on January 31st. How do you go about approaching just writing a speech, what you wanted to say, get your thoughts together, and reflecting upon your career?
Yeah. So it was amazing that so many people from my past decided that this would be a great opportunity to get groups of people back together. So I had a lot of my college teammates there, and I knew they were going to be there. My family, a lot of my club teammates growing up. And so knowing that so many different people from my life were coming to that event really did shape how that speech was going to be played out. I wanted to recognize how much all of them meant to me and the various ways that they impacted my soccer life as well as just my life in general. So, yeah, it came together that I was really just talking about all of the wonderful times with all of them. And I think they all felt special to be part of that speech.
I was going to ask you, how special was it when you look out there in the crowd and you see so many teammates, but also the friends and family that came to support you?
Oh, there's not a day like it in my life. Even like I would say my wedding day didn't have that many different people from various times in my life, especially so focused on one thing, you know, soccer. Soccer's been part of my life since I was 5 years old and still is a part of my life as a college coach myself. So having all of those people from soccer come to one place, I mean, there was nothing like it. There was a moment where I just sat and listened to, people were really generous and gave me a nice round of applause. And I sat and I just was like, do not forget this moment. This is beyond special.
So overall, you mentioned you still feel like you're on cloud nine.
Yeah.
What did that day mean to you?
It's something that I've dreamed about, if I'm being honest, since I left the team here, since I graduated. I knew that this was a phase of my life that really impacted me in a very special way. I think I became more of who I am today while a Milwaukee Panther. So I've dreamt about it. And when it became something that was real and became a reality, it's meant so much to me.
Well, let's go back to day one. You mentioned you started playing soccer at five, but let's go back even further. You're born in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, but called Batavia, Illinois home. When did you make the move to the land of Lincoln?
Yeah, at about 6 months old, you know, the ripe age of 6 months, moved to the Illinois area, Batavia, Aurora, you know, generally speaking, and grew up with the same club teammates from when I was about 5 years old all the way till 18.
Wow.
So it was a special group. A lot of those girls went on to play Division I soccer. Four of us ended up playing professionally in the league here in the United States, as well as in leagues all over the world. So it was an incredible group of girls.
So at the age of five, first exposure to the sport of soccer, mm-hmm. Was it instant success for you? Was it one of those, man, I love what I'm doing, or did it take some getting used to?
A little bit of both. I think as a really small child, my parents and my coaches recognized that I had some potential, but then there was also definitely some learning moments. My parents liked to tease me about one game where it was really rainy and cold, and I was just kind of moping around the field. I was asking to get subbed out, and I was sitting under a tree just looking sad, and they were like, you know, this is a lot of money and effort for us as parents who can decide to play. or you can decide not to play, and you're not going to just sit under a tree moping. So they had a little parenting moment with me, of course. But for the most part, I think that I showed potential from a young age, and my parents really were generous to help me see that through.
Did that message from your parents stick with you the rest of your soccer career?
Oh my gosh, yes. One of the things that, if I had to say what I was known for, it would be work rate. And that conversation really ignited something within me. I remember it to this day. I think I might have only been 8 years old when they had that conversation with me. And my parents were wonderful at making sure I understood the value of what they were giving me, as well as they helped, they made me work for it. They made me referee to help pay for some of my soccer. So all of those conversations, I think they were really smart in how they approached it, because otherwise I could have taken it all for granted, and I really didn't.
Well, let me ask you, you brought up, okay, you refereed. How did that help you maybe better yourself as a soccer player, maybe understanding the game from that perspective?
Yeah, that's interesting. Understanding the game, certainly. I think also confidence-wise, it really impacted how I played. I accidentally got decent at refereeing, and so they were throwing me in like U18 men's games as a sophomore, freshman in high school. So I started off very timid and scared in those games, and the more that I did them, the more confident I became. I mean, I think I brought some of that energy out onto the field myself.
You know, we're talking, okay, you started at the age of 5. How about growing up? Did you play other sports or was it always soccer?
I very poorly played basketball. My parents liked to tease me in high school, or no, middle school, excuse me. I made the B team, and I was pretty athletic, so I could steal the ball from the other team really well, and then I'd go down and take 6 shots before anyone caught up. Wouldn't be making any of them, so I had a really high shooting percentage, low making the basket percentage. I also ran cross country in high school. I was so in shape those years because I would go straight from cross country practice at high school to, you know, soccer practice in the evenings. And I was exhausted, but I was loving it at the end of the day.
So what did you realize with all your soccer experiences that, hey, I have an opportunity to play at the collegiate level?
So this was definitely something I knew I wanted to do from the moment I knew college existed. College athletics were a thing. I'm going to be doing college athletics in my mind. So I worked with my dad really closely. He really helped me learn how to communicate with various coaches. It was different than, you know, you would reach out to the school and request something to be sent to you in the mail, and you'd fill it out by hand and mail it back. Very different time. So I knew it was something that I desperately wanted. I didn't know how that recruiting journey was going to be so difficult, though. You know, it's almost like dating in a weird way. You get your heart set on this one place, and then they're not interested. Or someone's very interested in you, but you're maybe not reciprocating that interest. So it was an interesting learning experience. I got some great feedback from colleges who weren't so interested in me and what I could do to improve my game. But ultimately, Michael Moynihan and David Nikolich were the coaches here at the time. They just really, from everything I saw on my recruiting visits and saw talking to the girls, they created an environment that I was most interested in.
Well, let's dig deeper into that recruiting process. So being in that Aurora area, so to speak, there's a lot of schools all around. Within striking distance, was the hope to stay close to home? Did you want to get away from home? What made Milwaukee eventually the destination?
Yeah, that's such an interesting question. I have cousins who live in North Carolina in the Chapel Hill, Durham area. And like so many little girls, North Carolina was top of my list. I wasn't really on their list, but that didn't matter to me. I was going to North Carolina. When I would visit my cousins, I'd make them take me to the field. I remember I pulled out several pieces of grass and kept them in a cup off the field. I mean, just funny stuff like that.
Do you still have that cup today?
I don't have the cup anymore. I don't know where it went. I'm sure my parents moved. They politely tossed that in the garbage. So, I mean, there was dream schools like North Carolina, like so many little girls have. Several other schools let me know that I would have a spot on the team, but maybe I wouldn't play till my junior year, or some schools were very expensive. Shout out Northwestern. So they offered me a scholarship, but my out-of-pocket cost was just something I wasn't capable of, capable of pulling off. So really, UWM rose to the top for a lot of reasons, like the affordability of the school itself was very appealing. And then what really sold me on the school at the end of the day was the girls on the team. They were incredible. They talked about Milwaukee as a place that is interesting, the food scene, the beach, you know, the Summerfest was going on. And then Michael and David as people really just sold it as well.
And you were coming into a program that was coming off 5 straight regular season conference championships. Did that factor at all? And what did you walk into? What was the mood like? What was the culture like that you were walking into as a freshman?
The culture was very competitive in a good way. Standards were incredibly high, and the young women were expected to meet those standards. And that was really appealing. I talked about my parents a little bit at the beginning of this, and they had incredibly high standards, and they had expectations of me that I needed to meet. So this wasn't an unfamiliar or scary type of environment. It felt like, okay, I know what the expectations are. It's scarier when I don't know what expectations are. So it was a great environment. The girls were very involved in goal setting every single year. I remember that was something new for me. The coaches worked in this amazing way where they would have us set goals for the season. This was my freshman year, what I walked into. And then have us work backwards as to everything we would need to accomplish in order to meet those goals. And sometimes that would mean we were defining what our fitness level should be, which, you know, we had to work really hard based on those fitness goals. Sometimes it would be we want to win X amount of games, which would lead us to a conference championship. So what do we need to do leading up to that? So it was a really nurturing environment, but really high expectations as well.
And we'll sit here and dissect each season that you play, but bigger picture, with the goals being set, was there pressure every year to essentially pick up where that last team left off and maybe up the bar even greater from that previous season?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know that I felt it so much from the coaching staff, but the girls, it's ourselves, I mean, we did not want to lose in conference, and we did everything we possibly could to not lose. We had a little huddle at the beginning of every conference game and every home game, and we would say, we do not lose on Engelmann, and we would just establish it as a rule. We're not losing today. And it wasn't that we had big heads about it. It was that this is the really high expectation that we're holding ourselves to.
Now I'm going to test your memory.
Okay.
Okay, so you step on campus. Your first official collegiate game taking place August 26th of 2005 against Northwestern. It was part of the then known as Milwaukee Cup. It was down at Valley Fields. You remember much about that first game, that first test against the school that you potentially could have gone to as well?
I remember I was very impressed with how much we held on to the ball. That was something that sticks out in my mind. We were really stringing a lot of passes together. I believe we won that game. Yeah.
I think you're right.
Okay. I believe we won that Milwaukee Cup as well, if I'm not mistaken. Do you remember?
We'll go back and look that up.
Okay, there you go. I do remember just being really impressed with how we were stringing passes together.
Do you remember the feeling just walking on the field for the first time as a collegiate athlete?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything like it. You have these moments in your life that you've been working toward. I mean, for 18 years in that case. And then it finally becomes a reality. There's a ton of nerves that come with it. I think I took like a million shots that game. I was just so nervous. But at the end of the day, once you get that, you know, put the cap on or what, take the cap off, however you want to phrase it, the nerves go away. And from there, things kind of just fall into place.
Well, you had mentioned earlier, okay, one of the big adjustments for you was just the goal setting. Mm-hmm. How about from a playing standpoint, what was the biggest change or adjustment that you had to make from what maybe your previous soccer experience has given you?
Oh, that's a good one. So my coach, who I had, like I said, from age 5 till 18, he was an amazing technical coach. Like technique, dribbling, juggling, anything with our feet, we could do it. What he lacked a little bit was tactical awareness. And Michael and David are tactical masters. So that was a huge learning curve for me, to the point where David would be shadowing me in many practices because I was just like a dog with a bone. Wherever the ball was, I was sprinting after it. He was like, no, come back into the middle, come back into your position. And he would need to follow me around and teach me how to be more tactically aware of what I was doing. So that was a gigantic adjustment.
And you were part of the starting 11 from day one. But is there a point in the season where you said, I'm comfortable now, I feel like I belong, or was that instantaneous?
I think some of the older girls really helped me get there eventually. There is always worry that, am I doing what I need to be doing? Do I belong here? But players like Amanda Wynn and Liz Chudy were so generous with their advice and so generous with their belief in me that they really helped me believe in myself.
How big of a confidence booster was it to be in the starting 11 day one?
Gigantic confidence booster. Our first exhibition game my freshman year was against the University of Illinois. And University of Illinois was another school that I was talking with over the recruiting process. They were the ones who told me that I wouldn't play till my junior year. And I decided, no, I'd like to play somewhere where I can make an impact immediately. And this coach was so nice to come up after the game. And he said, we made a mistake. we could have had you playing because I did have a really good game. So, it was unbelievable to be in that starting 11, but little tidbits like that, like the confidence from that coach, the confidence from my teammates, really helped me believe in myself.
Was that kind of unique, that first year playing some schools that you potentially might have gone, getting the opportunity to face teams you might have played for at one point? Was it motivation facing some of those teams?
Definite motivation. I wanted to show them that they made a mistake, even though I was very happy where I was. It is always nice to show someone that you would have played value in whatever part they had for you.
Now, you scored your first collegiate goal as a Panther on September 4th of 2005 against Drake. 5 days later, you scored a game winner. That was against Central Florida. Do you recall either one of those goals?
I remember the Central Florida one very well. Michael had just... he wasn't able to be there because he had his son Gabriel. So David was at the helm for those games in Florida. And it just felt really special to be able to give that win to him, because I know going from an assistant position into a head coach position, even for a short period of time, that must be nerve-wracking for a coach. So I remember that one super well. The girls, after that goal, kind of piled on top of me. So that's the memorable piece of it.
Well, the beauty is, we'll talk about this again as we go along, but you had a knack for scoring game-winning goals. Even that freshman year, you had the game-winning goal to clinch the Horizon League regular season title and knocking off Detroit Mercy. But that 2005 squad finishing 12-5-5, but 6-0-1 in Horizon League play, won the Horizon League tournament, a shootout over Detroit up in Green Bay, advanced to the NCAA tournament, knocking off Purdue in the first round via a shootout before falling 1-0 to Marquette. How intense, you just look at that last week of that first season. You're playing for a Horizon League tournament. Now you're in the NCAA tournament. It decided in a shootout. I mean, essentially, penalty kicks determine your guys' fate. Mm-hmm. How intense was that last week, those last couple of weeks of that freshman season?
Very intense. And that is something that I don't know that you can tell someone about as just a concept. Like, here's what the end of the season is going to be like. To experience it is something completely different. Especially as you're getting a lot of minutes, your body is just exhausted, right? I remember getting cleated in the face, which is another thing that always happened to me, I guess. so I had these unbelievably gigantic lips running around the field. And my body felt more broken than it ever had, because I don't know that I had ever pushed to that limit with that many games, one after another, and just how badly you want to win those games. So, it was something unique like I've never experienced before.
And following 2005, named an All-American Honorable Mention, named to the the All-Region Freshman Team, First Team All-Horizon League, and to the Horizon League All-Newcomer Team. And throughout your career, you became Milwaukee's first two-time All-American, also named First Team All-Horizon League all four seasons. You think about those honors. What do those accolades mean to you?
They mean a lot to me, especially now as an older person who is can look at things a little differently. They mean so much. Like I mentioned before, this period of time at UWM is just special in general. And I think that it really did make me into who I am today. I know I already mentioned that, but I truly believe it. But I have to give so much back to the coaches and my teammates. They were incredible. They're still the best of friends, my teammates, and Michael and David were coaches like I've never had before. So I can't really accept all of that without shouting out all of those people.
Well, I was going to ask you at some point, let me skip ahead and ask you what it was like to play for a legendary head coach like Michael Moynihan, who was the Panther head coach from 1997 through 2011, now at Northwestern. What was it like to play for him?
He was great. He was very serious in some regards, and then that would make the moments where he was not serious just that much more special. And he and David had this unbelievable relationship in that Michael could bring the seriousness and David could be more of like the friend. I mean, never really a true friend because he's a coach, but he would bring silliness. And so we had this great balance between the two of them. And now coaching in the collegiate space myself, I truly am aware of how much time they put into the team. They would have every practice plan written up in the locker room before each game or each day of practice. They would have quotes for us to memorize as we were jogging down to the lake. We would be repeating them in our head over and over and over so that we could recite them back once we got down to the lake. And then for every game, we would once again do goal setting and they would hold us accountable to our goals. So I can see now that they just put in such an incredible amount of time. And I think that that love for the game they have really helped them do that.
Well, getting back to your career in 2006, 5 goals, all game winners, including a game winner against Marquette, one against Wisconsin. When you think about game winning goals, does one game winning goal stand out among the rest?
There was a game, I'm not going to be able to say what year because my memory is not as good as it should be, but a game winner from decently far out on our home field at Engelman, and I just smacked it. And that one stands out more than so many because it was just such a incredibly long-range goal that really stands out. But game winners are exciting no matter who they're against.
Well, especially back then when you still had the golden goal. So a lot of overtime winners. You mentioned the shootout. I mean, a lot of big-time goals, memorable goals during your time with the Panthers. That 2016, they won 16 matches, did not win the Horizon League tournament, but got into the NCAA tournament, beat Michigan via a shootout before falling against Notre Dame 1-0. When you think back to that season, okay, the low of falling in a Horizon League tournament, and obviously that's painful, but then to get into the NCAA tournament still, and quickly the emotions of going from low to high and coming out and knocking off Michigan via a shootout, how were you guys able just to forget about what happened in the Horizon League tournament and refocus on the task at hand?
Yes. Blessing in disguise that we got the school's first at-large bid. So there was that to hold on to dearly. And then I think we just became a little angry. We knew that we messed up in the tournament and we could either let that ruin us or we could let it propel us. And we chose to use it as fuel to get on to the next level.
In 2007, kind of a down year by Panthers standards, 13-4-4, won the regular season title, but fell in a shootout to Loyola Chicago for the conference tournament title. There was no NCAA tournament that year, but then bounced back in 2008. And the team bounced back to win 18 matches, one of the regular season, the conference tournament championships. You think about that senior year. Obviously, it's your final hurrah. But as far as the team goes, after missing the NCAA tournament in 2007, how much hungrier was that 08 team?
Yeah. And I think that 2007 year was a very young team in terms of we had a great group of talent come in, but still they're young. Sophomores compared to freshmen, huge leap in understanding the team, understanding roles, all of those things. So I think we learned a lot, and with a little bit older and more experienced team, we knew that we could take it to new heights and, you know, not make the same mistakes as the year before.
And, of course, 2008 brings about Sarah Hagan, another special talent you got the opportunity to play alongside, at least for that 1 year. What was it like to play with Sarah?
Oh, she's so great to play with. Her knack for finding the goal is not like many people that I've had the opportunity to play with. And I've gotten to play with some really skilled people. She is just incredible at finding the goal. I mean, at the end of the day, that is what the game is all about. You can do all the beautiful things in the midfield that you want, but if you don't score the goal, you're not going to win the game. So she really kind of brought about, we were connecting so beautifully, playing these beautiful balls into the forward, and then adding a player like her just really like made us become that winning team we wanted to be.
As mentioned, that was a winning season in 2008, got to the NCAA tournament, lost 2-1 against Michigan State on November 14th of 08. How emotional was that game for you? Not only is it the NCAA tournament, but then with the loss, final time walking off the field as a collegiate athlete.
I was so hyper aware that that was it. I still have these memories where I'm working out in this day, today's day and age, and I see I have 3 minutes left of my workout, and it automatically takes me back to 3 minutes left in the game. It's so bizarre how my brain still associates that. And I remember watching the seconds tick by, and yeah, just being hyper aware that that was it, and that was the end of the career.
Well, and you look at your career, the Panthers went 59, 16, and 13, won 4 regular season titles, a couple of tournament championships, advanced to the NCAA tournament 3 times. You played 86 matches. You scored 17 goals, added 8 assists, good for 42 points. Of all your accomplishments, what are you most proud of from your time as a Panther? There's a lot to be proud of.
Are we talking soccer specific or overall?
Overall.
I think I'm just so proud of the people I've gotten to meet from here, and I can't really say that enough. The quality of friends and the husband that I walked away here with, they are just the most amazing people I've ever known in my life, and they're all part of soccer. So, of course, still soccer specific, but the quality of human being that I left UWM with is forever in my heart.
Okay, so that's the bigger picture, and you mentioned, okay, soccer-specific, what stands out? What are you most proud of, soccer-specifically?
I think I'm really proud of knowing that I was the type of player that left it all on the field. The work rate, there's not a game that I can think of where I phoned it in. And I have some memories of the most crushing tackles that are still, they just bring joy to me, where, you know, I was able to just clear someone out with a clean tackle and get the ball. I think those memories are what are sticking with me the most. Not exactly the statistics, but that energy of leaving it all on the field and really providing some of those flashy or really hard, gritty moments.
Did it ever get tiring? I think the current Panthers can relate to this too on the women's soccer side, but you get everybody's best. It doesn't matter where a team may be in the standings. They want to knock off Milwaukee. You guys can't afford to have an off night, so to speak, because you know you're getting somebody's best. Did it ever get tiring knowing that, like, you had to be up for every matchup? Otherwise, you might suffer defeat.
Yeah, it definitely was a little mentally exhausting, but I could kind of work through it with myself, knowing that I would rather be in this position than fighting for that position. So a lot of responsibility that comes with being on the top of the Horizon League repeatedly, but it's a good place to be at the end of the day.
We talked about game-winning goals. Is there just a goal maybe that you haven't mentioned and or a game that stand out among the rest?
There was a game, Horizon League tournament against Loyola keeps coming up. I clearly had an issue with Loyola. But we just really pulled away in the game. I think we ended up winning it 6-0 or 6-1, you know, just some incredible number of goals that we were able to score against a really quality team. That one stands out because we were having so much fun in that game. It was one where we were able to relax. They were getting more and more frantic, which made us be able to be even more relaxed and do some quality moves and kind of make them fall on their faces a little bit. So that one is pretty magical in terms of just a game where everything clicked and everything fell into place. In terms of a goal, okay, there was one against Wright State in another Horizon League tournament. It was coming down to it. My dad, he still maintains to this day that he mentioned to my mom, he said, Sarah's going to score the game winner. And who knows if he really did, but the lore is strong there. And so there was a corner kick. I got up, and I remember as I was kind of coming up for the ball, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to jump high enough for this. Somehow, some way, there's a little, you know, my dad shoved my feet up from the sidelines, and I headed it home. And that was just a fun, fun goal.
Something that jumps out, too, to me that I wanted to ask you, you're number 13.
Mm-hmm.
Why number 13? Most people think superstitiously that that might be a bad number. You, though, you took it, ran with it.
You know, I have to admit, when I showed up on campus and I saw the number 13, I was a little like, how dare they? This is going to ruin everything. I had never been number 13 before, but I wasn't necessarily the type of person that would have said anything about it. So I put my uniform on and I just played. However, it has certainly become my lucky number. And when I was lucky enough to get drafted to play in the league here in the United States, I also was number 13 on that team and very much enjoyed being number 13.
Finally, you mentioned during the start of the podcast that you're coaching now. So for those wondering, what are you up to these days?
Yes, I am working at Milwaukee Tech, and I am coaching both the men's and women's soccer teams as an assistant, as well as I'm an instructor in the fitness and wellness department and teaching in those classes.
Well, very nice. Well, Sarah, thanks a lot for your time. Congrats on getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. All the best in your future endeavors.
Thank you so much for having me.
That is Sarah Teagarden. Thanks for joining us for the Pouncecast.